live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach has again refused to engage in the debate over the reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. Meanwhile, serious concern has been expressed over the absence of a community intervention team in Donegal. A Midlands Northwest MEP says commitments, not words, are needed from a cabinet meeting in Sligo on Friday, where the National Planning Framework will be published. And there are renewed calls for government intervention in the ongoing controversy over the proposed new Tory Island ferry service. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. But first in news, there are calls for an urgent meeting to be held with the senior management of Letterkenny University Hospital and ambulance control, as it emerges an ambulance took over an hour to get to a house situated just 5 minutes from the hospital, as the nearest available vehicle was in Dunloe. By the time the ambulance arrived, the patient had passed away. It comes amid reports that ambulance service in Donegal has been thrown into disarray over severe staff shortages, with current ambulance crews said to be at breaking point. Councillor Kieran Brogan, a member of the Regional Health Forum, says this is a matter of urgency.
For far too long, I think, we've been fobbed off with different models and different answers. Ambulance control and the senior people involved in the management of ambulance service are well aware of the challenges that we're facing on a daily basis. And when you have a situation where ambulances have been sent from other counties to Donegal, this model hasn't worked, and it won't work in an area like Donegal, which has a huge geographic spread from Malinhead to Bundoran. And as a matter of urgency, we're seeking a meeting between the senior management of ambulance control and indeed the senior management of Letterkenny General Hospital as well, because of the huge delays that are happening there with ambulance personnel getting released and being held maybe from 4 hours to 7 hours. So this is a matter of huge concern, and the urgency of this cannot be expressed enough.
And while it's not the fault of the staff at the hospital, there just isn't enough of them, particularly ambulance crews, to facilitate going out in the ambulance.
This is of absolute huge concern to the staff of the hospital, and it's the staff at the hospital that need the support to resolve the issue. It's a massive issue, and it's an issue that's causing huge concern to the staff at the coalface in A&E and Letterkenny Hospital, who, let me add, are, as I've been told, at the end of their tether, some of them near breaking point. I stand full square, as Councillor Crawford does, with the staff at Letterkenny General Hospital.
Meanwhile, the Taoiseach has again refused to engage in the debate over the reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. Leo Radker was responding to a question tabled by Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue, who has continued to challenge the government's failure to approve the €1.8 million funding request to reopen the short-stay ward at the hospital, increasing bed capacity by 19. Over 150 people have been waiting on a bed at the hospital this week so far. The Taoiseach says it's not practical for him to take responsibility for the process of determining where extra hospital beds should be located.
170 additional beds have been opened across our hospitals so far this year, with plans for more to be opened during the course of the year. The HSC, in appraising where new beds will be opened or not, examined the needs, the cost and the ability to get them staffed, and that was the basis for the appraisal. I won't be taking it into my hands to determine exactly where a bed should be located across our health service. That wouldn't be practical.
The government insists it will work with the UK to get talks on restoring Northern Ireland's power-sharing executive back on track. Discussions between Sinn Féin and the DUP collapsed yesterday over an Irish language issue. The British Prime Minister could impose direct rule, which is unlikely to be readily accepted by Republicans. SDLP leader Colm Eastwood says people on all sides of the political debate must get back to working together.
We are now in a situation where, after decades upon decades of trying to find a way for our two communities to work together, we are now retreating from that reality.
Meanwhile, the Fianna Fáil leader doesn't understand the situation in Northern Ireland, according to the Taoiseach. Micheál Martin has said the detachments of governments in Dublin and London hasn't helped the Stormont negotiations. Earlier, Taoiseach and Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney hit out at Deputy Martin's reaction to the impasse.
We have spent a huge amount of time together trying to bring this about. And some of the commentary, I think, has been unhelpful this morning, in particular from the Fianna Fáil leader, who in my view, doesn't seem to understand what has been going on in Northern Ireland.
There are renewed calls for government intervention in the ongoing controversy over the proposed new Tory Island ferry service. Following a protest outside the Dáil yesterday, Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says there's growing anger over plans to service the island with a vessel which is over 40 years old. He believes that the future of the island community is very much at risk unless the government steps in.
It's coming down to the wire now, and you know there's another plea being made by the community of Tory as they made their way in their droves and supported here by hundreds of others who were waiting them at the gates of Leinster House yesterday, calling on the government and the department to intervene here so that they can continue to live on the island, continue to be able to travel in and out to the mainland in a safe service, and we're committed to try and support the residents of Tory to find a resolution. But look, at the end of the day, this comes down to a decision by the minister and his department, and there is an option on the table, one that the department isn't willing to entertain at this point in time, but the only option that can actually solve this issue, and that is to buy out the existing contract.
Now, the department have issued a statement. They issued it last night, and they did say that they are offering a number of options for future ferry services. Do you think that should be considered by islanders or not accepted at all?
Well, look, each of these options have been considered, and I've sat at meetings with the islanders where the officials of the department were there and the committee, and I know that they have brought this back to and discussed it back on the island. Those options have been rejected, and I can understand that completely. Like, you know, what the government are proposing here is a 12-man boat going in and out, running alongside a ferry, which to the Tory islanders is unacceptable.
The quick actions of the occupants of a house in Mina Niller in the Gidor area that caught fire after lightning struck the property have been praised. The alarm was raised last night at about 5 to 12 after the detached dormer was struck by lightning during a thunderstorm, causing some damage to the house. Donegal Chief Fire Officer Joseph McTaggart says thanks to the quick thinking of those in the house, the outcome has been positive.
At about 5 to 12 last night, Gidor and the low fire brigades were alerted to a house fire at Mina Niller, Derrybeg. Gidor fire brigade were in attendance some 10 minutes later. So the house was a dormer house detached. The owner had advised the brigade that one of the dormers was struck by lightning. The lightning ignited the curtain on the window. One of the two occupants in the house had the good sense to close the door. The closed door would have restricted the flow of air and oxygen to the fire. When the brigade arrived, the curtains were smouldering, so the fire was easily extinguished. The damage to the room was, fire damage was superficial. The smoke damage was, again, also superficial and restricted to the room of origin. The dormer sustained very slight structural damage from the lightning strike. So all in all, while it was an unfortunate event for the householders, the outcome could have been much, much worse.
And you've praised the quick actions of the occupants of the house, and it is important for other people to remember that, you know, not to panic and try and think themselves what they can do.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, a fire needs air, needs oxygen, needs air to burn. And if the supply of air can be restricted, then obviously that's going to slow down and impede the spread and growth of the fire. The owner in this specific case had the good sense to do that.
A government minister described illegal dumping as a national scandal. Drones, CCTV and undercover surveillance are to be used to clamp down on litter black spots across the country. €2 million is to be spent this year targeting those responsible, up to €1.25 million last year. In 2017, Donegal County Council received almost €69,000 for 20 rum projects, the second highest number in the state. Rural and Community Development Minister Michael Ring says decisive action is necessary.
As somebody that has responsibility for the tidy towns, but also has for volunteerism in this country as well, it's not right that we have people out there on a daily basis cleaning up illegal dumps. And I'm calling on the local authorities. We want to see serious prosecutions now. And I hope when these people come before the courts, that the courts will deal with them. They're spoiling rural Ireland. They're spoiling the countryside. We're trying to encourage visitors to come in and tour Ireland. And to see these blights all over the country is a disgrace.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale. Now on at Station Roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's 13 minutes past five. Time now for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with boxing, and after a year out of action due to a hand injury, NABF middleweight champion Jason Quigley will return to ring action at the end of March. The Donegal man will fight in front of an expected big Irish support on Easter Saturday night, the 31st of March, at the Marina Bay Sportsplex in Quincy, Massachusetts. Jason, who's ranked 7th in the WBC World Middleweight Rankings, goes in the Boston bout with a polished 13-0 record. His opponent is yet to be confirmed by Golden Boy Promotions. Quigley hasn't fought since last March, when he damaged his right hand on the way to defeating Glenn Tapia to land his first pro title. During his time out of the ring, Quigley has relocated to Sheffield and is now training under Dominic Ingle. Moving on to soccer, in the Republic of Ireland, under-17s played out their second draw in 3 days with Turkey and Galway today. Donegal's Mark Walsh, he came on for the last half hour but couldn't help a side impact on the scoreboard. The Swansea City player also featured in Tuesday's game, which finished 1-1. Seamus Keogh, a student at Colostia Columkill in Ballyshannon, he played the full 90 minutes today at Eamon DC Park. In the Centenary Shield, Wales host the Republic of Ireland schools this evening. Kickoffs at 7 o'clock. The Republic of Ireland select on that panel are two community, Cairndonagh Community School students, Daniel Houghton and Kieran Farron. And the management team head coach is Willie O'Connor. Performance analyst is Ollie Horgan, and the physio there is Mickey McGlynn. Elsewhere in soccer, Arsenal faced freezing temperatures at Swedish club Östersunds in the opening game of their Europa League last 32 meeting this evening. Kickoffs at 6 o'clock. While Celtic, they welcome Roberto Mancini's Zenit St. Petersburg to Parkhead for a 8:05 kickoff. Hoops boss Brendan Rodgers admits his side are underdogs.
I think it's fair to say that, you know, in terms of the, I suppose, the standings of both teams across Europe, I think it's be fair to say that people, certainly within football, we'll probably look at it and see Zenit as the team that probably would be favourites to go through.
Well, elsewhere, Chelsea boss Antonio Conte is trying to draw a line under speculation about his future. It's widely reported the Italian will leave at the end of the season, but there's also been rumours he could be sacked sooner. The pressure eased following Monday's Premier League win over West Brom. Conte's had enough of answering questions about his job security.
I think about this topic is right to stop. Otherwise, every week we stay to speak about this topic, and we risk until the end of the season to speak in every press conference. We must be focused only on the pitch.
Elsewhere, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp says he hopes Mo Salah is just starting to make history at the club. He scored his 30th goal since moving to Anfield as they thrashed Porto 5-0 in the Champions League, the fastest player at Liverpool to that total for 122 years. Sadio Mane, he scored a hat-trick in that first leg last 16 tie. The Republic of Ireland, they're up one place to 31st in the new FIFA World Rankings. Martin O'Neill's side are on the rise despite losing their World Cup qualification playoff against Denmark. Northern Ireland also missed out in the playoffs. They slipped down to 26th. World champions Germany, they remain top of the rankings, with Brazil second and Portugal third. Moving on to Gaelic games, and the LYIT men's Gaelic football team are off to Dublin for the finals of the Trench Cup. They play Mary Immaculate College Limerick in Friday's semi-final at Santry Avenue. The LYIT have won the Trench Cup just once in their history. That was in 2005, a side that was captained by Neil Gallagher. The current crop also includes a few county players. The LYIT manager is Michael Murphy. He says making the final of the Trench Cup is the immediate target.
The goal from the very start of the year with the men's team has been to try and reach the weekend. That's where you want to be playing at, along with the Sigerson colleges. The Sigerson will be coinciding, I suppose, with the Sigerson finals weekend. So we'll be hoping that we can try and make it through to the final. And as I say, able to proceed that, I suppose, the huge event of college football, which is the Sigerson final, you know.
Yeah, how are you fixed squad-wise this weekend? Because there was quite a few of the Donegal boys involved with your team.
Yeah, I suppose all right. You know, Declan has been very, very understandable, you know, from the very start of the year through games and through training and balancing that. And I suppose he sees the part that was off the LIT and the games that it can give lads and then the opportunities they can do. So, you know, the lads have been playing consistently for us and playing very, very well at that. So probably Jason McGee and Michael Langan are the only two doubts heading into the weekend. They've been carrying Knox, and probably they've been, I suppose, unavailable for both the county and for ourselves. But you know, I say we'll just be hoping now that fairly quickly we'll be able to just find, I suppose, before we go down there, whether they'll be fit to play and fit to go. But it'll be positive enough that they hopefully should be. And as I say, Declan, as I say, is more supportive that they get away there and they get to play with their college, you know. And hopefully, as I say, all going well, that they get 2 days football out of it, you know.
Yeah.
And elsewhere in colleges, Gaelic Games, the LYT ladies, they lost out today to St Mary's University College. The final score there was the LYT 3-9, St Mary's 4-8. They lost out. The LYT lost out by 2 points. They go on to the qualifiers next week. Moving on to rugby, and Tommy Bow, he'll make an earlier than expected return to Ulster duty and Friday's crucial Pro 14 game against Edinburgh at Kingspan Stadium. Bow's shoulder injury was expected to keep him out until early March. And Robbie Henshaw's season looks to be over. Ireland head coach Joe Smith has confirmed that the centre will be out for between 3 and 4 months after suffering a dislocated shoulder in last weekend's Six Nations win over Italy. In golf this week in the PGA Tour, the Genesis Open. And the big draw today, the early starting group was a 3-ball of Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas. But they're all off to disappointing starts. McIlroy is 1 over through the 6. Tiger Woods is 2 over through 6, while Justin Thomas, he's level. Leading the way on 4 under par is Derek Fathauer. He's 1 shot clear of Graham McDowell. He's off to a great start. He's 3 under through 7. Elsewhere, Shane Lowry's 1 under through 5, while Patrick Harrington, he's 1 under through 4. And Gavin Moynihan's 6 shots off the lead at 1 under par after an opening round of 71 at the Oman Open on the European Tour. Paul Waring and Matthew Southgate there joined top of the leaderboard on 7 under par. Former Ryder Cup captain Darren Clark, he's level par after day one. Finally for this evening at the Winter Olympics, Ireland's Tess Arbaez has finally made her Winter Olympics debut. After days of postponements due to dangerous winds, she completed the 2 runs in the giant slalom in Korea this morning. A combined time of 2 minutes, 40.24 seconds, handed her 50th place. Pat McMillan finished 52nd in the men's downhill. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport will be after the news tomorrow morning here in Highland. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Serious concern has been expressed over the absence of a community intervention team in Donegal. Senator Padraig McLaughlin has revealed that no such service has been implemented in the county since the initiative was announced almost 8 years ago as a government intervention. The service is a vital resource in freeing hospital beds, facilitating early discharge of patients and preventing readmissions to the hospital. Senator McLaughlin says once again Donegal is the forgotten county.
This initiative was rolled out now almost 8 years ago, and there was this commitment that would be rolled out across the state. It was a key intervention. It was a primary care intervention, but it was aimed at trying to free up hospital beds. Despite the crisis that we have across the state, it appears that they haven't been delivered, and yet again Donegal is a forgotten county. You know, why is it always that we have national programs rolled out that Donegal is the last place to see them happening? And you know, if Donegal didn't have a beds crisis at Letterkenny Hospital, you might be able to figure it out, but we have a profound beds crisis. Of course I'm going to challenge the Minister vigorously. I'm going to challenge the HSE, but I mean, the reality is, despite all the fanfare about delivery for Donegal, we are the forgotten county, particularly when it comes to health services.
A Midlands North West MEP says commitments, not words, are needed from a cabinet meeting in Sligo on Friday, where the National Planning Framework will be published. MEP Marion Harkin says successive governments have failed to provide a safe route from Dublin to the North West, which has had grave human outcomes as well as economic disadvantage. She is calling for positive, practical costs of proposals which will deliver competitive infrastructure for the region, and says the government now needs to deliver.
We have another meeting coming to Sligo, I presume because there was such an outcry about the fact that the plan originally contained nothing north of a line from Dublin to Galway, or certainly nothing substantial. On Friday, what I want to see are practical, costed proposals with a time frame for the regions, as it were. We just are having more lip service to the whole issue of balanced regional development. I've seen too many plans come and go that didn't deliver. For example, listeners in Kennycall will be well aware that if you look even at the leader funding that's in Donegal, in recent years it was halved. What people want is to see that this government is committed to putting their money where their mouth is.
And for weather now, breezy this evening with further sharp showers of rain, hail and sleet. Tonight will be a mix of clear spells and isolated wintry showers. Temperatures will fall to around freezing with frost developing. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, there are calls for an urgent meeting to be held with the senior management of Letterkenny University Hospital and ambulance control as it emerges. An ambulance took over an hour to get to a house situated just 5 minutes from the hospital, as the nearest available vehicle was in Dunloe. By the time the ambulance arrived, the patient had passed away. The quick actions of the occupants of a house in Meenanniller near Gaedoor that caught fire after lightning struck the property last night have been praised. Fire service personnel from Dunloe and Gaedoor were deployed after the alarm was raised last night at 11:55 p.m. There are renewed calls for the government intervention in the ongoing controversy over the proposed new Tory Island ferry service. Following a protest outside the Dáil yesterday, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says there's growing anger over plans to service the island with a vessel which is over 40 years old. And serious concern has been expressed over the absence of a community intervention team in Donegal. Senator Padraig McLaughlin has revealed that no such service has been implemented in the county since the initiative was announced almost 8 years ago as a government intervention. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 15th of February. The death has occurred at Remelton Community Hospital of Pakicall, Dobeg, Fanad. Removal from Remelton Community Hospital around now, going to his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ballinacrick at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Fanavalti Cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu of desired to the Remelton Respite Fund and Fanad Day Centre, care of McAteer Funeral Director or any family member. The death has taken place at Archview Lodge, Letterkenny, of Peggy Quinn, née Tourish, Letterkenny Road, Lifford. Her remains are reposing at Quickley's Funeral Home in Strabane from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow afternoon from 3 o'clock, with removal at 4:30 to St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Archview Lodge, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Seamus Crumlish, 58 Lower Main Street, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday to St Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 3 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake Funeral Director, Stony Arch, New Line Road, Letterkenny. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Paddy McGee, Glenlehan, Fintown. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal at 6:15 tomorrow evening, going to St. Columbkill's Chapel, Fintown, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Rosary at 9 o'clock. House private, please. Family, friends and neighbours welcome. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Eileen O'Donnell, Tully Gay, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Eunan's Cathedral at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, with interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family Flowers only, please, donations in lieu of desired to ICU Patients Comfort Fund, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Con MacDade and Sons Funeral Directors, or any family member. The death has taken place at his home of Joe Kelly, Ballyness, Falkara. His remains will repose at his home at Ballyness, Falkara, from 6 o'clock this evening, with Rosary Nightly at 9 o'clock. Removal from his home on Saturday, going to St. Finian's Church, Falkara, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Inquiries to McLaverty Funeral Directors, Gort the Hork. And the death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Nancy Cassie McBride, White Cross Road, Ranafast. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 in Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary tonight at 9. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Donations in lieu of flowers to ICU or Surgical One, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Stephen O'Donnell and Sons Funeral Directors.